Hey now, what's up? My name's Jose, metal and horror ambassador Mangan from SiriusXM, and you are listening to 30 Screams or Less podcast. Come on now.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Good Boy. I kind of want to say it like Good Boy.
That's a good boy.
That's a good boy. Directed by Ben Leonberg, written by Alex Cannon and Ben Leonberg, starring Indy as Indy, you know, it's the puppy, it's the boy. No, it's a good boy.
It's a good boy.
Shane Jensen as Todd and Ariel Friedman as Vera. The plot of the movie is a loyal dog moves to a rural family home with his owner only to discover supernatural forces lurking in the shadows as dark entities threaten his human companion. The brave pup must fight to protect the one he loves most. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh, yeah. Beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com. Use code 30screams10. Get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Good Boy?
Apparently, it took over 400 days to film this. And honestly, really? I'm not surprised. Getting a dog to act for almost 2 hours? That's not filmmaking. That's a hostage situation with infinite milk bones. It gave me Skinamarink flashbacks, which I fucking hated. But Good Boy one-ups it by putting a golden retriever front and center and somehow making him more compelling than half the human leads I've seen this year. The hype is real. This thing is weird, bold, and is unforgettable.
Yep. Dude, this thing is one of a kind. I've never seen anything like this. The fact that I didn't even realize it took 400 days, but it totally makes sense. And now that you say it's a hostage situation, yeah, they probably paid him in milk bones.
How do you get a dog to behave like that for, again, it did over 400 days. I mean, that's more than a year to film this movie.
It was such a compelling performance by a dog. As ridiculous as it is to sound, a compelling performance by a dog. Mm-hmm. And probably the trainer. The trainer, I'm sure, was very good. I can even say the trainer was a good actor.
Oh,
if you think about it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what goes into making a dog behave the way that it behaved in this movie for nearly 2 hours.
It was unreal. Obviously, there's been plenty of movies when it comes to dogs, right? You have Air Bud, fucking silly kitty type movies type deal.
Yeah.
I mean, Homeward Bound, where, you know, the dogs weren't really saying, well, the dogs were talking the whole time. And, like, they would just, you know, do dog shit. Again,
dog shit.
Dog shit. Yeah. Kid movie. And then A Dog's Purpose, which we won't talk about because that's a nightmare of a movie to watch. Not because it's a horror, but because it's just dogs dying after over and over and over and has to do with afterlife shit. It's bad.
That made me... So it's funny you say that because... And I know I'm not the only one, but I was dreading this dog dying. And we got invited to watch this movie in the UK when they did the initial screening of it a couple weeks ago. And I mean, it's a fucking UK. We're in the US. Like, obviously, that's not going to happen.
No.
But I remember people in the audience, because the director was there doing a Q&A, and he did a Q&A before the movie starts, and someone asked him, you know, does the dog die? And the guy's like, I don't want you guys to be, like, pissed off going into this movie, so no, the dog doesn't die. Like, before anyone even saw it.
Yeah.
You know, set the expectation that you're not going to see an animal get killed in this movie. So I'm glad, and I know even the people I showed this trailer, you, other animal lovers that I showed this trailer, were like, if that fucking dog dies, we're going to riot.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like ECW with Rob Van Dam. If Cena wins, we riot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kind of the same deal. You and I are a big fan of miserable endings for movies. Like, movies that leave you gutted at the end. Mm-hmm. If this fucking dog died at the end of this movie, I would be like, never again.
Zero out of five. It would have ruined.
Zero out of five.
It would have ruined, like, all the positive things that I had to say about it. Mm-hmm. I would have.
Gone.
Yep. Done. I would have review bombed this shit on Letterboxd. I would have sabotaged any relationship we had. We would have never got another screener.
Just burned every fucking bridge we have.
Yep. I would have burned 30 screens or less to the fucking ground.
Damn.
I'm telling you.
You heard it. We do not approve of animal death or cruelty.
Yeah.
So don't send us screeners that contain either.
Yeah.
But no, continue to send us screeners, especially this one, which we were very lucky to get. We weren't even sure we were going to get this. Corey's just like, you know what? I'm going to ask. Fuck it. That type deal. And you know what? Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. I was,
for the most part.
I was very surprised to see that show up in our inbox that morning. I was very excited and surprised because this movie has gotten a ton of hype because of it's based on a, you know, you're watching a movie through a dog's eyes or you're living a story through a dog's eyes.
Yeah. Like to say lens.
Lens.
Dog's lens.
Yes. Okay. Yes. But yeah, I was fucking furious in the beginning of the movie because of that phone ringing and no one was answering the phone. And I was getting pissed because the dog's just sitting there watching the phone ring. And I'm like, will you fucking answer the phone, dog?
The dog can't answer the phone, Corey.
So I was in a foul mood right off the bat.
Damn.
Yeah. Right. No one answered the goddamn phone.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out what the hell was happening at the beginning. I don't know. Like, I thought it may have been like some sort of demon that the dog was seeing right away.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that was Todd, his master. And Todd, he has some, like, it's either mental issues or substance abuse issues.
I think it was a drug problem.
You think it was a drug problem?
Didn't they kind of maybe allude to it at some point in the movie that he had a drug problem? Like, he was hallucinating and shit?
Yeah, he was hallucinating. But also there was a point where he had a bandage on his arm.
Yes.
Which...
So when they showed that bandage on his arm, I assumed maybe he was, like, maybe getting cancer treatment or something. You know what I mean? Like, he just got back from a hospital.
You know, I thought that too, actually. But yeah, go ahead. I cut you off there.
No. That's just it. I thought maybe Todd was, you know, maybe terminal or something. But
yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that because there was a scene where he was sitting there with Indy at a doctor's office and he wanted to do clinical trials for something. And they were just like, no, you can't do it. You're too far gone.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So like, I thought maybe he was sick.
Yeah. And like, they show him going into an MRI thing. And I'm like, okay, does he have cancer? We don't know. There's like all sorts of stuff going on. So he's doing the blood, like I think it might be a transfusion. Initially, I was thinking that maybe it was methadone. You know, a methadone injection type deal for people that were like struggling with heroin addiction. So I was thinking it was that. Then I was kind of thinking, oh, maybe it's cancer. Now that you bring it up, it might have been cancer. It might have been him doing his treatment. You know, what's the radiation treatment deal?
Chemotherapy, right?
Yeah, like chemotherapy where they're just doing like the injection.
Yeah, that's the one where you get the IV, I believe.
Yeah, so maybe it was that. And dude, there was that scene where he left and he tells Indy to stay. Stay in this house, by the way, that Indy knows some fuckery is going down.
Yeah.
And you see him go to the window, and first it's like daylight, and it's split second goes to nighttime. And it just tells you like, oh my God, this dog has been waiting by this window the whole fucking time for Todd to return home. It was heartbreaking.
Right. And I made a note specifically about that scene, how the atmosphere, and it sets up that just feeling of loneliness, you know, for the dog, because he's just waiting for his best friend to come home.
Yep.
And that thunderstorm's going on outside. It's just super ominous. I love that. And then the transition and this scene from day to night was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Because it was so seamless.
It really was. It looked like the dog didn't even move the slightest bit. Now, that's impressive if you think about it. Like, okay, dog, we need you to move to the same exact spot that you were during the daytime. Think about the direction behind that.
Or they made him sit there all day and they had like a milk bone on a fishing pole or something and just made him stare at it.
Yep. This. Just was it like lead him with a carrot?
Yeah, just holding it in front of the window for, you know, so that the hours pass during the actual day. But it was probably movie magic.
Movie magic. Now, they used the green screen milk bone.
Yeah.
to just guide him around. Unreal. Yeah, the acting, oh God, it's so fucking weird to say. The acting behind the dog was amazing because you could tell he was kind of conveying his emotions on these things.
You know what's going to be like, fucking crazy when, yeah, like, award season comes around, right? So I'm thinking, like last year, for example, like, you had, I can't remember the category, but it was the one The Substance was in.
Yep.
Was it best horror movie?
There wasn't a horror category. I think it was like
thriller or something. Mix.
Yeah, like horror comedy type deal, right?
I don't know. Regardless, whatever the category may be, if we see Good Boy in that category, let's say it wins. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a dog going up to accept an award.
Dog wins an Academy Award.
Imagine that.
I shit you not, Corey. I thought about it earlier today.
Okay. Great minds think alike.
Great minds do think alike. I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to get an Academy Award nominee indie from Good Boy.
We're starting our pitch right now, world. Indy deserves an Academy Award for his performance in Good Boy. He shot this fucking movie for 400 days.
Yes. Hashtag Indy Academy Award. Oh,
we're manifesting it, so it's going to happen. Award.
Oh, fuck, man. I wouldn't be surprised.
So first we manifest the cult of Ghostface.
Maybe.
We're going to manifest the Chimera reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the new Necrophagist album.
Oh, we've been trying. We're really trying on that one.
What else have we tried? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to say the last one's going to be Indy the dog getting an Academy Award for his performance in this movie.
Oh, dude. Like, what are we going to do if he gets an Academy Award for this movie?
Nothing, because we're not going to get any credit for it.
No, I know that. But I'm saying, like, you and I need to have some sort of celebration, like, okay, we are officially fucking psychics or something.
Oh, I see what you're saying. How are we going to celebrate? Okay.
We have to celebrate at least.
Yeah. Tweet us. Tell us what we should do when Indy wins an Academy Award.
Yeah. Hit us up on Twitter X, whatever. Hashtag 30 Screams or Less. Let us know what you think, how we should celebrate.
Yeah. And then after you do that, go to 30screamsorless.com and buy a shirt.
Yes. That. And, of course, subscribe to us on YouTube.
Yes.
That's a good
thing. Because we're video now, and hopefully we can monetize this shit at some point. We can go past 5 listeners to maybe, like, 1,000 or something. It'll be fucking sweet.
It would be sweet. You know, we got to pay for our hosting costs, all that stuff.
Yep.
So, it's ridiculous to say that this dog could be nominated for an Academy Award. But you heard it here first, that this performance was so compelling that this dog could in fact be nominated for an Academy Award. It's fucking crazy to say. It is so crazy to say.
I honestly didn't even think about it, the possibility, until we started talking about this.
Mm-hmm. I thought about it earlier today and I'm like, shit, it's gonna happen, isn't it? This dog's gonna get a fucking Academy Award.
All the shitty stuff that's happening in the world right now, Indy winning an Academy Award kind of fixes a lot of it.
It's what we need right now to make the world happy. Indy needs to win a fucking Academy Award. For this movie.
Basically, this whole episode is 30 minutes of us shilling for Indy to win an Academy Award.
I don't give a shit, man.
Yeah. We'll keep back on the spoilers.
Yeah. Give credit where credit is due. The acting from the dog was fantastic. There was so much mood in this movie, man. I loved it. Very dark, very ominous. The score was great. It was very tension building.
Have you seen Skinamarink?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, so did you sort of make that comparison as well, that this was very much like that movie but like 1,000 times better than that piece of shit?
I didn't actually. So I've got to hear your thoughts on why you're comparing the two.
Because Good Boy is shot in such a way where I don't think we ever saw Todd's face, right? We just kind of see his, like, from his midsection down, right?
Yeah, but there was one scene where we did slightly see him, but we'll talk about that in a second.
So with Skinamarink, it was kind of shot the same way, as you don't really see characters. You're looking at this stupid toy phone the whole time, and it's dark, and all you hear are sounds. It just relies a lot on sounds and a score. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of bullshit happening in Skinamarink. So yeah. I feel like the director, Ben Leonberg, kind of maybe used that as inspiration a little bit and added to it.
What's the saying? Skinamarink walked so Good Boy can run.
Boom. I like it.
There it is.
There we go.
There it is. There's your title.
Yep. I like that.
Yeah, I didn't like Skinamarink. I remember watching it, and yeah, it's got great sound design and all that, but it just wasn't for me. I was like, okay, we're just seeing shit spliced together. Things are upside down. There's a kid running around.
I think I gave that movie like a half a star or maybe even zero stars.
Yeah, on Letterboxd, you were not kind about it.
No, fuck that.
I think it's a hit or miss. I think some people think it's absolutely terrifying. Okay, sure. I just thought it was some avant-garde stuff. That's all I thought.
Yeah, it's kind of like being dark and ominous just for the sake of doing it and not really having a story.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. That movie was completely up for interpretation.
Yeah, it sucked. It stinks. Yeah,
it stinks. I will say this about Good Boy. The story itself, it's like we've kind of seen it before, you know, with the whole kind of cabin in the woods. There's some evil entity shit that goes down, all that. You can only be so original for so long in Hollywood till you like you run out of ideas and now you're doing your own interpretation of things.
Disney.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Disney's bad because, okay, let me take a step back. Disney is not bad. Disney just goes, you know what? We're going to take that and we're going to make it into live action. I'm actually doing air quotes now. People can see me do air quotes.
It's fucking crazy.
It's stupid. It's so dumb because it's not even really live action when, like, it's jam-packed with CGI anyways. What the hell's the point? Are they going to make a live-action Toy Story?
Oh, my God. Can you edit that out?
No.
Yeah, because I don't want that to
happen. Oh, fuck. I manifested it.
Yeah, edit that out.
No.
It's not real. It didn't happen.
It's not going to happen.
Don't fuck with my favorite, like, movie ever. My favorite franchise. As far as
my favorite
Disney movies go.
Disney movie ever, it might be Monsters, Inc.
Okay, that's a good one, too.
It's a very good one. I love that movie.
Did I ever tell you about the time I dyed my hair to look like Sully?
Did you?
Yeah, when I was in high school.
Oh, my God.
My parents didn't want to be seen in public with me.
I need this picture.
I'll see if I can find it and send it to you. Maybe even we can put it on social media for the...
I need to see you with hair.
We'll put it on social media for the likes. Me with hair?
That whole section there?
Did you say you need to see me with hair?
Yes.
I assure you, when I was fucking 16, it looked the same.
No shit.
Yeah, probably, because I've worn a hat every day of my life. That's my excuse. It's not genetics. It's just because I've worn a hat my whole life.
Yeah, well, I did wear a hat for a long time. Maybe it's true. I don't know. It's a whole fucking wives' tale. They're all saying, like, oh, it's the fucking stuff that's in your pores and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I've looked into it. It's easier to shave my head, so it's gone.
Is that a green screen?
My head?
Is that actually bald?
Yeah, it's very bald. My head is super bald. Do you not know that?
Never noticed it.
Never noticed it? Dude, what are you talking about? We were just at Silver Scream, and you had the room at fucking 50 degrees, and the first thing I said when I woke up in the morning was, my head is cold.
You're like... Dude, so when we got back, we wanted to tell this story on the last episode, but we completely forgot.
Yeah,
No, after we got back from Silver Scream the first night on Saturday... we got our Wendy's at 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, Steve, I'm going to turn. No, we left the air conditioner running all day while we weren't there. And I put that shit at, I think, 60 before we left. So it ran all day. We got in the room. Steve, were you wearing a sweatshirt or did you put one on?
Yeah, I put on a hoodie.
You put on a...
because I was fucking freezing.
Yeah, you made me shut the fucking air off before we, you know, until we went to sleep.
Yeah, I was like, nope, can't do this.
It's the same way at home, honestly. Like, I love it cold, so, you know, I have the fan going in the winter when I sleep.
I know, cool. A fan in the winter?
Yeah, I have a fan next to the bed. Like a standing fan?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jeez. Nope, not for me. Do you need the fan blowing on you, or is that fucking, like, white noise shit?
I mean, I'd be fine without it, but I do like the fan blowing on me.
Yeah, all right. So let's go back into it about...
we're talking about a movie.
Good Boy.
We ranted again.
We are ranting again. Again, the reason why we rant is because we don't want to talk too much about it because of how fucking good the movie is.
Yeah, thanks for reeling that back in and justifying it. And not just because we have ADHD.
That too. We're pretty bad about that. So
someday we have to release that was one of the very first episodes we did where we talked about Porridge for like a half an hour.
Oh, God, no. We could.
4 year anniversary.
3 year.
3 years.
4 year anniversary. Yeah, 4 year anniversary. We'll just we'll release the porridge.
Release the porridge.
Release the porridge. Oh my!
You get that hashtag trending too. Release the porridge.
Release the porridge. Drink your beans. Award for indie. I like. Actually, that's a good one. Award for indie.
Gotta say, Academy Award though.
You know what? Academy Award for indie. Mm-hmm. So all that hashtags, use them. Let's have some fun. So we're not even really going piece by piece with this movie. We talked about him potentially having cancer, but he started slowly diving into depravity a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, just into madness, I should say. Not depravity, into madness.
I kind of feel like we get the first glimpse of this when he starts smashing his face against a wall.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Crazy. And we're seeing this happen through the dog's perspective, and it just makes it that much more gut-wrenching to me anyways, mm-hmm. because it's this dog's best friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, dogs have feelings, and this dog's watching his best friend obliterate his face on a wall. I don't know. I feel like it hits different. When you're watching when you're watching this movie and you have that thought that you're watching this, you're watching it through the dog's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So, no, I know what you're saying. It's completely different because us being humans, you know, we know our feelings and we know how humans are going to feel about certain things. And we just take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we see an animal producing the same exact feelings that a human would, we automatically kind of associate ourselves to an animal and we're like, oh man, good boy.
It's a good boy.
Don't be sad, it's okay. And like, we automatically just go into like almost like mother mode, like, oh
yeah. I don't know, like, just I feel like it adds a whole different level of emotion to the movie too.
Yeah,
because
yeah, there was,
I mean, if there's anyone on this planet that doesn't like animals, fuck you.
Can't be trusted.
You can't be trusted, you know? And you're watching this movie as you and I as animal lovers. We're seeing this dog suffer, not like physically suffering, but emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It sucks. Because animals have feelings. Like, they feel things. They can't tell you what they're feeling.
But you can kind of get an idea of them not feeling good about things.
Right. And that's kind of what you get in this movie, because the dog is hearing things and he's seeing things and he's getting scared. There was one scene towards the end. I don't know if you caught it, but he got so scared he peed on the carpet.
I saw that.
Oh, my fucking God, dude.
Yep. I'm like, damn. Yep. That's terrifying. Because it was the grandfather who was sitting in a chair bleeding, and obviously it scared the shit out of Indy, or scared the piss out of Indy.
Literally.
And then there was that, like, one other scene where Indy was following the ghost dog up the stairs, because the dog was, like, trying to lead Indy up there. And Indy found the handkerchief that was around the dog's neck, and, like, just had this, like, crazy vision of, like, a demon right where the handkerchief was and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you see Indy fucking dive out of there and like go under the bed and shit like that.
And then you see Todd like lurching up the stairs and the dog and Indy's just hiding under the bed, terrified. And you see the shadow of Todd coming up the stairs, just kind of on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about it and ranted about it, but the atmosphere that this movie somehow manages to portray.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Next level shit.
So
absolutely
yeah,
next level.
It is next level shit. It's amazing. There was so much atmosphere, so much mood, a lot of emotions in this. Very emotional movie. The ending, we'll get to it, but kind of don't want to give all of it away. At least I don't want to give all of it away.
No, especially where I don't think people in the U.S. can see this movie until, I think, the middle of October, maybe a little later.
Wow, we're fucking
lucky.
Dude,
it doesn't hit U.K. cinemas until, I believe, October 10th.
No shit, we're that early?
Yep.
Damn.
We've been given permission to release our thoughts on this before the whole UK gets to see it. I don't really know if it's going to get a theatrical run here, but I hope it does. It deserves it.
It needs a theatrical run. It absolutely does. I think it's going to be a fucking, like, okay, well, I've kind of wrapped it up in my whole final review, but it's possible it could be another one of those late night with the devil deals.
Okay.
Like,
I like that. Yeah.
Like, it starts off small, and all of a sudden, like, oh, this is a great fucking movie. And then more theaters, and then more theaters. And then before you know it, this movie's making, like, $500 million or something.
Dude.
Probably not $500 million, but maybe, like, a pretty solid fucking return. We'll see.
I truly think that this is going to have a cult following.
Yes, absolutely. 1,000%, I guarantee it. I fucking put my foot down on that. That's the hill I die on.
Just so everyone out there knows, also, I don't know if you know this, Steve, there's another movie called Good Boy, right?
The one with Macaulay Culkin?
No.
Wait, is that the one with Macaulay Culkin?
Isn't Good that Boy? Good Girl? My Girl?
No, that's my, yes, that's My Girl, but, fuck. Okay, well, enlighten me, Corey.
No, there's another movie called Good Boy, and it's about furries.
Oh.
Yeah, so no. I was telling a friend about this, about Good Boy, and she went and watched. She's like, oh, yeah, I watched that movie Good Boy last night. You didn't tell me it was about a furry. I'm like, what do you mean?
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's called Good Boy. It came out in 2022. The plot is Christian, a millionaire heir, meets Sigrid, a young student on a dating app. They hit it off quickly, but there's only one problem. Christian lives with Frank, a man who dresses up and constantly acts like a dog. So,
all right then.
For a handful of listeners out there, this is not the one we're talking about.
Good Boy 2025. That's what you search for. Good Boy 2025. So, not the other one. Don't even watch that. That sounds fucking weird. Let's not bother with it. Is it a horror movie at least?
I could tell you.
No? Okay.
Oh. I just know that apparently I had someone watch the wrong movie.
You know what? It's The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, yeah. That was his first movie, wasn't it? Technically his first movie?
First, like, horror thriller.
No, you know what it was? Because we went to that Macaulay Culkin thing last year with at Home Alone. The Good Son was the first movie that he made $1 million on.
Ah.
And he was a fucker surprising. In that movie.
Oh, he made $1 million, not like the movie itself.
So as a child actor... That was the first movie that Macaulay Culkin made his first $1 million on.
Wow. Good fucking
And he was
movie,
like,
man.
What, seven?
Something like that. That movie was wild. Crazy.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, check that out, because that's a fucking whole other beast. You won't even think of Home Alone if you're watching that, because it's chaos. It's an absolute fucking chaotic movie.
I'm actually Googling this because I'm curious. Okay, so he's 13.
Oh, he's 13.
So Macaulay Culkin was born in 1980, and The Good Son was released in 1993.
Okay.
So, yeah, first movie he made $1 million on.
Good for him. Elijah Wood's also in it.
You're right. Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is. Okay, Elijah Wood. Rory Culkin's in it as well.
So Macaulay and Rory got to be in this movie together before Home Alone.
Yep, Quinn Culkin. So just all the Culkins.
Hmm, okay.
That's interesting. Okay, no shit. So, yeah, check it out. It's an old one. You can find it somewhere, I'm sure. Okay. You know what? I'm going to talk about this one thing real quick with Good Boy, and then I think we should wrap it up because I don't want to give away too much.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Jump scare.
Oh, yeah. You told me you got a jump scare. I got to hear about it.
I got a good jump scare out of it because there's a scene where, like I said, Todd is diving into, like, insanity. It's almost like Amityville Horror. It's kind of like that where, you know, father is just slowly diving into madness. And that's the same thing with Todd in this movie. So he's slowly diving into madness and he's becoming more of a jerk. And he decides he's going to chain up Indy outside to a doghouse. And I don't know if you noticed this. There was a bit of a Snoopy reference there.
No.
With Indy hanging out on the roof of the doghouse.
Obviously, I saw that, but I didn't make the connection.
No, huh?
That's awesome.
Now you get it. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So... you know, he's hanging out there outside. At this point, we've seen some of the supernatural shit. We've seen some of the shadows happening and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, like, you know, Indy's standing there just kind of looking off to the screen. All of a sudden, like, this demon-looking fucking thing just kind of comes up from behind him, almost looking like one of the aliens from Signs, but just all black.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, shit. Like, it caught me so off guard. I did not expect that to happen. You're focusing so much on the puppy. No, the doggo. Focusing so much on him.
The doggo.
The doggo. Oh, boy. That you're not expecting this fucking entity to just creep up behind him. So this gave me a good fucking scare. I didn't expect it. I like being scared sometimes in horror movies.
Okay.
And it doesn't happen much because you and I are just experts at this point. Or we like to think we're experts. But we've watched them enough. We know when shit's going to happen. That one just happened so fast. There was, like, no lead up to it. So that was a great jump scare. You'll see what I mean. I didn't even give you all the facts of when it's going to happen. So you're probably still going to be jump scared as much as I was.
Yeah, that'll be completely unexpected to when people that listen to this watch that.
Yeah. I will say this is a good ending because the director said there's a good ending. So we're going to just leave it as that. But, Corey, I say we get into it. What do you give Good Boy?
This is a 5 out of 5. I love this movie a lot. It did a great job of building suspense, and you literally had to hold your breath the entire movie. The sound design was unreal, the score was amazing, and the choice of shooting most of this film in the dark was an interesting but a wise choice. Mm-hmm. Shooting this over 400 days with a real dog makes this one of the most unique films I have ever seen.
I agree. This is arguably one of the most unique films I've ever seen. Same thing. Going to go with a 5 out of 5 on this as well. I love the concept behind this movie. Typically, when someone hears the dog was the star of a movie, you're thinking Air Bud and things like that. But this is a whole new standard for an animal starring film. As ridiculous as it is for me to say, the acting was phenomenal. And like we said, I bet there's even an Oscar nom going to be in the future for this freaking dog. It's so insane because you got so many different emotions and stunts out of this dog. And I don't know if there was a stunt dog. I didn't see if there was. But
I also didn't see anything about that. I think it was all indie.
Yeah, just did everything. Good for him.
Even on IMDb, the cast has, there's 8 cast members. Yep. Although there is something on here that Bandit. Was there anyone named Bandit?
Might have been the ghost dog.
Okay.
You know, the ghost one. Yeah. So, as I said before, the dog performance, great. And the trainer. The trainer probably had some acting chops as well to know what emotions to get out of the dog. Or just actually a good director of dogs. So, you had your director, and then you maybe had the dog director. So, you probably had 2 separate directors happening, which both of them worked great in tandem, basically. I like that you barely saw the faces of the individuals in the movie, with it being Todd or Vera, because it really put emphasis on the dog being the main attraction of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we only saw Todd's face for like a second, and I think there was a good reason for that, but that's for the major twist in the movie.
Yeah,
and we're not going to tell you what the major twist is, but it caught me off fucking guard. Wasn't jump scare, it was more like, whoa, that's what's happening? Holy shit. Kind of one of those deals. I thought this movie did great with building dread. The sound design was unreal. The score was great. It just very bass heavy. You know, just whoom, whoom, whoom.
Like that type deal. Like dubstep.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. just a lot of that, and it just brought so much tension to a lot of these scenes. So I see one of 2 things happening. Either it slays at the box office and it just gets this massive release and it makes millions upon millions of dollars, or it becomes this epic cult classic and it's watched for generations to come. Either way, this film is going to be studied. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.